pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Student Representative Stephanie, if you will.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'm going to be telling you Marysville's Charters Academy's old business. The Mary Wise of Windsor performances was a great success last week. Some new business. We'll be having our annual dance and dessert December 5th through the 6th at 7 p.m. in the Marysville Auditorium. Also, the next week on December 8th through the 12th would begin Music Week. Monday will be piano. Following that would be advanced piano, Tuesday strings, Wednesday choir, Thursday band, Friday jazz band, and drumline. Also, juniors will be preparing to reenact the Ellis Island immigration that took place in New York between 1892 through 1954. For Lyndhurst High School, old business, Kids Can ended on November 14th. FFA Pumpkin was on October 28th. Talent show signups was on October 27th through the November 7th. Halloween costume contest was on October 31st. Football game was on November 7th. Talent show tryouts was on November 12th through the 13th. Senate meeting was on November 13th. Some new business. President Council on November 20th. Thanksgiving break will be through the November 24th through the 28th. Talent show rehearsals will be December 3rd through the 4th. And talent show would be on the December 5th. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. We have tonight Yuba County Superintendent of Schools for the Williams Act update. Scotia, good to see you.
How do we rate the top one?
Good evening, board members and Dr. Evening. Todd. As you know, the Williams Report is an annual report that the county superintendent by Ed Code is supposed to perform and report out on, and the report is for six of the schools. All of the schools had sufficient materials, instructional materials. Most all of the schools were good. A couple of them rated fair in their facilities. Thanks very much to Terry Bilodeau and his office, his staff, for the help with that facilities report. They were very very helpful in preparing that. And unless you have any questions.
Any questions of the board?
No question but a comment. That was probably the most thorough rundown I think we've ever seen of even the deficiencies. You're to be congratulated. That was a wonderful job, and I'm sure we're working on all the corrections.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have to say that it wasn't by myself. The staff, Terry Bilodeau's staff, and my staff get most of the credit for that.
Right. And Ryan DiGiulio is working with Terry Bilodeau and our new facilities person, Cynthia, and they are taking this list and going down and talking about what things can be done immediately, what things will be done over Christmas break, and certainly have attention paid to all of the items that have been called out. So a plan is in the making. So thank you.
And as you can see, this report was conducted. Most of these were done the first week of September, so I'm certain that some of those things were already repaired.
All in all, an excellent job.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you again.
Good
thank
to see
you.
You.
Government Financial Strategies Incorporated. The topic is refunding bond sales.
See if we can do a quick switch.
It'll be just a moment. They're experiencing some technical difficulties. those together. Well, I just want to pull it up before.
Yeah, that's good news.
Yeah. No, I always carry that.
Is that what it breaks down? Oh, don't say that.
We'll see if this works. That would be a very fast switch. And I think Ryan just gave you some handouts as well. Very large version of it. Let's see.
It's never been
with technology. Yeah, he's too over there.
Has half my screen up there and half of it here.
Well, we have the whole thing here, so.
Do you have the whole thing?
Yeah. I don't know what you have there.
Do they have a whole? Oh, no, I think.
Just reach up there and yeah. Turn it.
Do you know how to do that? Oh, there is my cursor. I think this will work. I apologize for this. Great. Yay, sorry about that delay. Thank you for having me tonight to present the results of our bond sale that happened in our office. And this is the Measure 8 bond refinancing, and I've been here a few times talking about that upcoming sale. So what I'm going to talk about tonight is a review of the Government Finance Officers Association best practices that were used during the sale. I'm going to talk about what we projected at our August 28th board meeting. I'm going to talk about the bond sale results and then talk about the financial plan details and taxpayer results as well. So there were several Government Finance Officers Association best practices used, and I just wanted to highlight those. We find in many, many districts that we work with using an independent best practice improves results over the long term. And I think you'll see this as we go through the presentation. So first, the use of an independent financial advisor, the competitive sale process, which I'm going to talk about quite a bit more, that you pursue refinancings for taxpayer and district savings. In this case, it was taxpayer savings. And you've incorporated call feature into the new issuance, so there'll be a refinancing opportunity again in the future. So we'll talk about what we projected on August 26th. If you recall, there were two bond issuances that had potential refinancing opportunities. The 2006 had a projected savings above the threshold that we recommended, which was 3%. But the 2008 did not. Although what we did in the documents and what we talked about with you is we incorporated both of those, so if the threshold was met on the day of the sale, we could sell both and achieve greater savings. And so that is a percentage of the par amount of the refunded bonds. And so we had set the 3% for the 2006 and 6% for the 2008. And a little bit of a preview, the interest rates that you got were so low that they both did achieve a refinancing. And so I'll share that. How that ended up. So on the day of the sale, we received 7 bids, and these were the true interest costs that we received. The winning bidder was Robert W. Barrett and Company, And you might not actually even know the name of that firm. And what we've seen since the financial crisis is what we call rise of the mid-market. So there's lots of smaller to medium-sized firms bidding on these bonds. Seven bidders wanted Marysville Joint Unified School District bonds. So that in itself is to be commended. That injection of competition is really good. And you'll see that in the next slide. You might not think there's much difference between 3.189% true interest cost and the last place, which is 3.3643. That doesn't sound like much, but what I'm going to share now is the dollar amount in savings directly attributable to those different bids. So this, so between the first and last place bids, it's an $857,000 difference. So just by using that competitive bidding and getting the good competition, the seven bids, having a strong credit rating, having strong financial management, that difference saved over $800,000. So Dilbert is talking to his boss. There's no objective standard for measuring how much I should accomplish in a given day, nor can we really know if things would have turned out better if I had done things differently. The boss asks, do you have a point? He says, I'm going home early. See if you could tell the difference. And I love this because I think a lot of finance might sound like this, but as you know, and your experience with Jonathan and Lori, is that we measure ourselves. We are always trying to improve. We use objective measures into how well we do, and we share those results with you. And that's really important to us when we go through a sale like this to just see how we compared with the market. So what I'm going to show you is a market comparison of comparable sales around the time that you issued bonds. There were four sales, yours included. And so what we did is the dots are each of the maturities that you issued. The Marysville bonds are the larger purple dots. And in fact, in every maturity, they're the lowest on this scale. And so not only did we receive good results because of the competitive bidding, when we compare what was out on the market at the same time as us, we also did well. And so I just wanted to share that with you. We thought it was a fantastic result. In our office, we were very excited the day of the sale. We called Ryan pretty quickly just to share the good news. And so now that I've shared how we did compared to the market and what the competition did, what does that mean for you? The ultimate savings is $3.43 million. Now that's quite a significant difference from when I came here before. So when we came, we projected that we'd be just about $1.2 million. And that was only because we were looking at just the Series 2006 bonds when interest rates were so low on the day of the sale and they both were able to be refinanced, that the actual savings for both of them was 1.659 for the Series 2006 and 1.775 savings for the 2008. So in total, that's $3.4 million for taxpayers. I wanted to put this slide in to show you how the use of the best practices over time has saved taxpayer money. So when we first issued these bonds for Measure H, this is a $37 million principal amount. The total debt service that for the first bond sales after the election, we were at $81 million of debt service, which is still quite a good ratio between debt service to principal paid. But that was the pre-election estimates. Then we sold the bonds using the best practices, and then we've now refinanced. We are looking at a $63 million total debt service for taxpayers on $37 million worth of bonds. This savings is $17 million from when you went out to the voters on Measure H till now. So that is a fantastic result on $37 million. So I want to commend the district and the good stewardship that you've shown over the years for this measure. So I was sharing this presentation with a colleague this morning, and he was like, I think this is the highest taxpayer savings I've seen per $100,000. So your taxpayers, because of this refinancing, we're estimating they will save $5.45 per $100,000 on their taxes starting next tax year. And so again, that's a huge amount of savings to return to the taxpayers, and And like I said, my colleague had mentioned that he doesn't remember seeing that high per $100,000 anytime recently. So, well, I just wanted to conclude with a slide asking if there's any questions or about the bond sale, the results, or anything else. So thank you for your time. And sorry that your presentations aren't in color. Ryan has the final, and he could post that as well in color.
Thank you very much. Great results, and it's nice to hear good news in this area. That's excellent news. Thank you.
Thank you.
Board, questions?
And Ryan, did you have any comments you wanted to make on this?
I just want to thank Government Financial Services for all their help. Obviously, I mean, I've been involved in other bond sales at my former district, but you know, we haven't issued all that was authorized, but still our debt ratio is barely over 2-1, which is, you know, pretty significantly good. I know it's one of the best sales I've ever seen. And as we continue to monitor opportunities, we'll look at saving the taxpayers more money than what was initially thought the total debt service would be.
Yeah, absolutely. We're working with Ryan on that.
Yeah, since we started doing the bond sales, Government Financial Strategies has beat every one of their thresholds that they've estimated for us. Mm-hmm. Every time they came out with an estimate, it looks great, but they've beat it every time. We've done a better job than what they've actually estimated each time, and thank you for all your hard work. And, you know, I know there's been some bond sales really go awry as far as school districts are concerned, and this one has gone really well for our district and for our taxpayers, so thank you.
Well, thank you for putting your trust in us, too. We enjoy working with the district. Thank you.
Thank you. No other questions then. All of First Elementary School, school report.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Eggers. Most of you already know me, Jimmy Eggers. I'm the principal. I am here representing all of First Elementary. You all have our board report, so I'm actually going to speak to something very specific today. It's a goal that we started out with, meeting with Gabe before the school year started, and so we're going to start with this right here. It was changing the culture to engage all stakeholders. Now, I'm going to do my best not to read any of these to you tonight. There's a few key points I will talk about in going through that, so you'll have to take a look. Hopefully, you can see it better on this one than you can on this one. The first part about it that we wanted to talk about was, who are we as a school? We are a school of 539 students, of which over 190 of those students are inter-district transfers that come from out of our area. We don't have local busing to our school. It's pretty much a walk-to school, but we still have over 190, and if any of you guys have seen our parking lot on any given day, we have quite a few parents who drive and bring their students to our school. So that was something I wanted to make very clear. We have 25 teachers and 50 total staff members. And what we started out on this journey to do was to represent our school in the community and give you a good representation of what our school is in this community and what our culture is. And so I'm going to start you out on the journey that our staff took and that to get to the point we're at now and where our parents are in the current process. And so we identified our stakeholders, which is very obvious. But once we identified our stakeholders, we started doing some surveys and we started getting some input. So I'm going to pass this around to you really fast, and if you guys will just take a look, because everybody will see it on the next one. But there are some directions. Because when we look at our stakeholders, we have students, parents, community, staff, but we need to know who we are and how we can continue to create a positive environment in our community. And so when we looked at it, there was given, and unfortunately for all of you back here, it's a really neat thing if you could read it, but I don't know how you can. Given it, there's a huge list of words. It's a bank of words, which you can't see. They actually get to see a nice printout, and I did not print enough for all of you. Given that, there are five core values that you're asked to find out of this list of words. And from those five core values, it's don't confuse a goal with a value. A goal is something you intend to accomplish, where a value is an internal belief. And we set out to put into words our internal beliefs. And the thing that we said is be sure you pick the ones you care about, not the ones you think you ought to choose, but what do you truly care about as a person? And then what we did is we had every single staff member, from yard duty to our cafeteria workers to all of our teachers, every single staff member had an opportunity to vote, and every single vote counted as one. And we came up with our list. And surprisingly, I gave you each a list to look at. Surprisingly enough, it's amazing how many are similar and how many people pick the exact same ones to go forward with. And so when we came up with our results, here's what we came up with. There was our top five. This is who we are as a staff, and this is something we have communicated to our students, and we have communicated to our parents, starting with teamwork. And I'm not going to go through those, and I'm not going to define those. I'm going to let you define those for yourselves and think about how those all apply in a school, because this is who we've said we are. And as a staff, we worked together, and we came up with this. So I'm going to give you about 10 seconds to just kind of read it over. This vision statement is a product of the process that we went through as a staff. It's also a process we're going through with our parents and our students. It is the product of our values as a group, and we are applying it daily with our students, our staff, our parents, and our community. And so, identifying our key members, here's what we have with our students, and I'm not going to go over every bullet point. I'm going to pull out two. Our Student Activities Committee is something we're doing brand new this year. It is comprised of fourth, fifth, and sixth graders who were elected by their peers. This is a chance for our students to be a part of our school and also to shape the culture of our school and what we do. This is their chance to have their input, and it's run by a couple of our teachers at lunchtime. And they do an activity every week at our school. The other part, when we talk about the students, and you can read the other parts, you have the board report, but is the school outreach consultant. This was a very big addition to us, because besides just doing SSTs and doing some interventions, this person is meeting with our students before school, recesses, lunch, after school, and actually doing interventions during the day, and has been a huge component to our success. And I will talk about that even more later. The next component, our parents. And we do quite a bit of things with our parents, but I'm just going to give you a couple of very quick statistics because I am trying to keep it within my time frame. One of them being our school Facebook page, which we started this year. And I got to tell you, I'm not a Facebook person. I've never done it before. But we've gone from zero likes, and I had to ask what a like was because I didn't know what it was, to 155 likes as of yesterday. So we now have 155 followers to our school Facebook page. We have a parent volunteer and communications coordinator, and that's the person who is making this happen. She is in charge of our web page. She is in charge of our Facebook page, our school newsletter. We're doing our best to make sure we provide as many opportunities through as many possibilities to our community and also to our parents. And the last thing I'm going to talk to you about on this page anyway, and I do have an example for you, is our parent badges. And I'm sure several of you have heard about badges. We've talked about safety. But the nice thing is if you pass this around, it's wonderful what you can find on the internet, because you have a picture of all of you, and you have your own Oliver's Elementary guest badge. We have one of those for all of our parents. We ask our parents to come in to take their picture. We have their name. We actually have parents who come in from the county program who do the same, because we have a county program on our campus. We have parents who come in from our preschool program who also do the same. We provide, and I guess I didn't pull it out, we provide the parents with either a lanyard or another clip so that they know they can wear it, and when they come on campus, we do ask them to be identified. We try to keep our campus safe. We want our parents to also know you're a part of our campus. We know who you are. This is our opportunity to see you. Please show your badge. Please come and join us. And that is one of the models we've had, is please come and join us. Be a part of our campus. Which leads into our next slide. These are the events. These are the major events that we do at our school. This is where we invite our community, our students, and our parents. And our students have an opportunity to help serve. Our parents have an opportunity to help serve. They also have an opportunity to participate. And these are just our major ones that we do, besides having them on our campus on a daily basis. I'm actually getting ahead of my notes. The next slide I'm going to show you is, this is something we've been working on for a long time, but this is just this year. Here's our community involvement. We talked about setting partnerships with various groups, with various businesses to come into our campus. And these are just the groups who have been on our campus this year. These are businesses that have donated to our school. These are people who have come out and provide services to our students. I'm just going to highlight a couple of them really fast. We've had the Clampers who came out, and you may have heard this last year, is they completely redid our garden. They have come out and served our school for our back-to-school barbecue, our Ookie Spooky Night. They have come and asked, how can we serve and help your school multiple times? The Scheiber Family Farms donated between $2,000 and $3,000 worth of pumpkins to our school so that every student from our school got to leave with a pumpkin. So we had enough for every single one, and that was a great donation. They just came out and said, we'd like to do this for your school. Winco donated $500 just for our Ookie Spooky Night. I could list all of those, and I'm not going to go through. These are our partnerships. If you want to go into more depth, I'd be happy to go in and tell you what they are. Last one, we'll talk about staff involvement. We have done a lot of things this year regarding staff involvement. A lot of team building. There are several things. In fact, each one of you tonight is going to get to see a couple examples of what they are. When you look at your Oliver's card, please look because your name is on top of it, and you should just be the top person. I'll make sure. And the next person should just go right on down. Yep, all right. And the next one, sorry, is what teachers give to each other. This is my teachers for teachers. There is a wall in our staff room for significant success notes, and there's one for each of you just to see. And so it's four teachers. Actually, I shouldn't say four teachers. I'm sorry. For staff, by the staff. It's what we are doing for each other. Any staff member, any person can go and write a note to another staff member, not only hand it to them, but place it on a wall so that everybody gets to know what we're doing. Because one of the things that we've done at our schools, we have found that as a group, we do far better than we do individually on our own. And that is something we've worked on all year from the start, and we're continuing to do so. And the last one, even though it's a long list, I'm going to talk about our celebrations and concerns. Every week, our staff has the opportunity to write all of their celebrations and all of their concerns. The great thing about it can be anonymous or you can put your name to it. And what happens is those concerns go on a list that is published for the entire school to see. And the great thing about it is when we have a concern, we want to deal with it. And when it is dealt with, it's now a celebration. And it doesn't go off that list until it's gone. And we've had a lot of success because now we have staff members who are willing to step up and take on that list before it ever even gets to me. And that's something that's been very successful at our school. And that is because of our staff choosing to take that on. We're not done. We have more to do. And that's something we like at Oliver's, and that's something that our staff, our students, and our parents have taken on. We want more opportunities for our students to grow and to be a part of our school culture. That is why we're there. We want to increase communication with our parents, and that's something we do discuss all the time, and we actually have several ideas on how to now not only send out a caller to them, but start sending out mass texts to our parents because they're preferring that more than the caller. That list you saw is only the community service from now all the way back to the beginning of the year. We haven't talked about several of our major events, of which our goal is to find several more community members to be a part of our school. And the last bullet there is we really want to continue building our team, which is our Oliver's team, including parents, including staff, including students. And the articulation for the staff, I think, speaks for itself, as it gives them an opportunity to grow together, and we do provide opportunities for them to do that. The great thing is one of our teachers came up with this, and we've adopted it for this year. Wear the blue, be the gold. And quite simply, when we talk about being the gold, and we actually do talk to our students about this, there are posters on our campus. Being the gold is using teamwork, taking responsibility, being accountable, learning, and having respect. And so I really appreciate this opportunity to speak to you, to give you a quick insight into our school. And as you may have noticed, I am wearing the blue, and it was a pleasure to present the gold that is our school to you. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
I just have one. Do you know about how many badges you've given out?
Quite honestly, I've lost count. We've handed out several to county programs and even to the preschool. And I thought about that today as I left. I go, you know, I didn't get a full
count. Majority of your parents come in to get
Oh, yes. Them. Oh, yes. If you don't have a badge, you have to come through the office, even in the morning when you're dropping your child off, and you have to get a sticker badge. And the parents really, if you look where our main parking lot is, they don't want to do that. Our main parking lot is set up away from the office. And the great thing is I was out there 2 weeks ago, and I only had to turn one parent away, saying, sorry, you do have to wear the badge. Our parents, and that's the thing, is they're given an Olive First Elementary lanyard, or they're given a button where they can put it right on their pants. It's really been a great way to identify parents, for teachers to identify parents. Even if I don't have you as a student, I'm a teacher, I can look on your badge, hello, Mr. Hernandez, thank you. Could you please do this instead of this? It's a great way for people to get to know each other. Our staff is already asked to wear badges, and so now our parents are. It is a great way that they get to feel they're included. You can see it. I know there's parents that I don't know, and I will tell you the first thing I look for is their name on their badge. It helps me to identify the parent that goes with the student.
I think that's a great idea, and I'd like to see it incorporated district-wide if possible. You've really made great strides since this time last year, and you're to be commended. So thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Fleury?
Just a comment. Very good presentation. I, as you know, the Lions Club, we go to your school every year and we enjoy it. This year, several people came to me and wanted me to know how great it was going to Olive First. I've never had that happen before. But they came up and said, there's a change here. We want you to know that it's change. They gave you some accolades. The Lions Club noticed the difference. So you need to be congratulated. It's noticeable. Your staff want to make sure that I knew.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Any other questions, board member? Okay, we'll start with comments. Mr. Harris.
I would just like to say how happy I am that we got to refinance our bonds and both the bonds and save so much. Ago when everybody was financing $45 million for $11 million. And I am just so excited that we're doing such a good job of that. And it makes me proud of our district and our financials. And just wish everybody a good Thanksgiving.
Well stated. Thank you. Mr. Danable?
Same, just wishing the district a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. In fact, I reached over to Dr. Todd and all the things with bonds and the controversies. It was so nice. The one thing we don't read in the paper is probably one of the greatest achievements, and that was the people who are in our staff, so that was very nice. And I'd like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and holidays, too, and drive careful. Mr. Rick.
I had a chance to go over to Yuba Gardens and see the talent show that they put on, and that was very well attended. I know the Lions Club made some money, and like all the other service clubs in the area, they donate that money back into the school system and into the community. But that was kind of interesting. I'd also like to welcome Mr. Rasmussen. Congratulations on your election win, and you're actually... You've been a common visitor here for the last 6 months or so.
It's been over a year.
Yeah, it's been over a year.
Time flies when you're on the board. Okay. All right. So, and I think next it's the next meeting.
Yeah,
you. Be up here.
It'll sit right up here. Mr. Fleury.
I would also like to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and Mr. Rasmussen, congratulations on your election. I think I've known him since he was 2 years old when we, many, many years ago, and I think you're be an asset to this board. Also, the Lions Club is collecting glasses. We collect the glasses, we recycle them, and then we're able to provide glasses for kids through our district. We are trying to give 50 pairs out to needy kids, and so there's boxes we're going to be placing them and ask Gay for the district office. Also, I'd like to commend Gay for how quickly she got on the survey that it's out, and people have commented, and they said they enjoy being able to fill it out. It's anonymous, and all we can do is hope that we'll get some results and we can do better. That's what we're about, doing better.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. Mr. Boone.
Well, I also wanted to congratulate Mr. Rasmussen and thank Mr. Miller for the time he spent with us. He wasn't able to make it tonight, but congratulations again, Mr. Rasmussen, and say that, you know, thank Government Financial Strategies and Mr. DiGiulio and his office in the refinancing of the bonds. It was, you know, a good deal, a great win for taxpayers. It's quite a bit more money than I expected. We were looking at like 60 cents per 100,000 assessed value, and it's up to around $5.50 or $4.50, whatever it was. But anyways, that was a good win for the district, and, you know, it'll give people in our community and our taxpayers confidence in us that when we take on big projects like that, that their tax dollars are spent wisely. So appreciate that, and everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Well, I feel bad, Randy, if I don't congratulate you. So congratulations, man. You're welcome. Welcome aboard. Now, let me see. Comment our employee organizations, Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Operating Engineers, Local Number 3, California School Employees, Management Confidential, Supervisory. No public comments, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford, and it's always nice to get a new boss, so tables are turned a bit. I first got to know Mr. Rasmussen when he was a parent of three lively boys at Arboga Elementary School, and of course, Lydia, who could, you know, not mention Lydia, so welcome, and I look forward to 4 years of working with you. Well, some other good news. The Education Foundation met yesterday, and we reviewed the fall 2014 mini-grants, and we were able to fund 7 mini-grants for a total of $5,521 to various school-based projects, and that now brings us up to, over the past 4.5 years, awarding mini-grants in the grand total amount of $60,636, and those dollars all come from our Wine and Dine event that happens each spring. So please mark your calendar. May 9th is going to be our next Wine and Dine Under the Stars, where we hope to earn more funds so we can get that out to the schools as well. There will be one more round of mini grants that will be happening in January and then brought forward to the district level in February, so we hope to be able to spend some more money on some very worthwhile projects at our school sites. Today I met with Mayor Samioa and Dave Lehman. Doug Eshman from Covalad Elementary School was there, along with Lisa Hannon, who is a kindergarten teacher and a mother of 2 students at Covalad School, and we wanted to discuss and move forward the concept of closing 7th Street. You know, that's the street that runs through the middle of Covalad Elementary School, and we did have a tentative agreement with the City Council that when we build the new 2-story classroom building, that they would close that street down. But as you know, right now we don't have the ability to issue those remaining Measure P bonds. And so projects are pretty much on a standstill. So the need is still there to secure the campus. And we had a very delightful conversation today, and they have agreed to allow us to fence off, as long as we make it like a rolling gate 7th Street during school hours. And so that would be from before school starts until after the STARS program is over. They will be doing some car counting over the next 7 days to see what the traffic looks like, to see if they would actually support shutting that, allowing us to shut it down 24/7. We would still need to allow them access for some sewer and emergency vehicles to get in there should there be a fire or what have you. But certainly it is a wonderful step forward to securing that campus. As you know, it has those metal arms that allow folks to go above, over, and around. And so it will be really nice for Covalad School to be able to secure their campus during school hours. And then the last thing I have in my superintendent's report is to ask Lenny Tate to come forward. She has completed the Program Improvement Year 3 Local Education Agency Plan, which is the evidence of progress made in 2013-14 for Marysville Joint Unified School District. And so with that, Lenny, please walk us through this.
Thank Good evening, everyone. The first section is basically our strategies and the actions that we undertake for those strategies in the district that are written into our LEA plan. Items like making sure that we are teaching our ELA and math standards, that we have professional development throughout the district, that we have increased instructional time, for example, tutoring, summer school programs, those pieces. And then the evidence that we have to show that we've been doing the items that we described in our LEA plan. The most important part of this document is actually item number 2, the very last section, probably the second to the last page. And in that section is where we describe how we've done with our AYP and our API. With the change in state testing, the AYP has changed drastically in that the state has only provided us with high school graduation information. And the good news is, or the great news is that we've met our AYP in that we met our 5-year graduation rate and our 6-year graduation rate. In regards to our API, we do have schools that have met both their school-wide and their student group growth targets, starting with Arboga, Browns Valley, Covalad, Ella, Foothill, the Charter Academy, Loma Rica, and finally Yuba Feather School. Other schools in the district have met one of those targets, which was school-wide growth targets for Kynoch and Yuba Gardens. I intentionally put the 811 on there for Kynoch because they were already so far up there on the scale that it was sad that they did not meet their student growth targets, and that is due to our subgroups. The schools that did meet their student growth target but not their school-wide: Cordova, Dobbins, Abraham Lincoln, North Marysville, and South Lyndhurst. And then the list of schools that did not meet school-wide or our student group, and you can see that two of those on that list were so close to 800, both Edgewater and McKinney School. So overall, when you look at our growth rates, and I didn't bring the big spreadsheets with all the years' worth of data for you, overall, we have shown incredible growth as we've moved through the last decade of educating our children. Look forward to this upcoming year with our new baseline that's going to come with a smarter balanced assessment. I'm not sure what targets they're going to set for us at that point, but that's where the next set of data will come from, is those statewide assessments that we're going to be providing. And then item 3 on the evidence of progress is that I've shared the AYP and the API with you this evening. Any questions?
No, I appreciated reading about your quote a couple days ago about the art books purchased.
Yes.
Thank you.
Our language arts books. I know. That was, I forgot I had even spoken with that reporter. So I wasn't sure where that had come from, but it must have been a few weeks ago that he had talked to me.
Thank you, Lenny.
So, yep.
Anyone else?
Are we good? Thank you so much. And this is an annual report that we do because we are in PI. So each year I share that data with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can stay up a minute longer. We got to stall for. I don't want to go into without Jeff.
Oh. You want to just do approval
yeah.
minutes?
Yeah. Sure. Real slow. A motion to approve the minutes of the board meeting of 10/28/14. Do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve the board minutes.
Do I have a second? Mr. Danable, all in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. I don't know the legalities of continuing the consent agenda with that, right? Can I?
You have a quorum.
Okay. Then we move to the consent agenda. Have you all had a chance to look over? Is there anything you'd like pulled?
I'd like to pull item two on educational services and item one on student services. That's on page 4 and 8.
4 and you talk about the overnight?
Right.
Overnight field trip and then 8.
Okay. The one question I have on, or do you want to take care of the others first?
I have a question about number 6 under personnel, too.
Item number 6 under personnel. Okay. Mr. Boom, anything on, I know I'm, if you want to look at the, we're on a consent agenda now. Is there anything you wish to have pulled? No. Then we'll take Mr. Rex's item now.
On item number 2, is the district going to supply the transportation for this trip? I couldn't find that anywhere. This is a trip that's going to, I assume, Disneyland. And that's... So that's included in their form. That's the only question I had on that one. I was in the office this afternoon on talking about... student services number 1, and it's quite a complicated part of the agenda. One of the things that bothers me is we're approving something that it's effective as of July 1st of this year, so we're already almost halfway through the year, and we're approving something that is already evidently in progress, or we have to supply the information based on the fact that we're passing it tonight, but it's we have to also supply all the documents back to July 1st. The other thing that bothered me was I think this is another instance of the federal government really dictating to California schools through their overreach, Health and Human Services. So I just I know that part of the thing that happened to me this afternoon was I had much of my concerns alleviated when I talked to our superintendent in the office, but I thought maybe if somebody could clarify why we're actually doing this so late or something, and also what it constitutes to our district in funds.
The MA funding is a reimbursement that we are entitled to when we provide certain services that fall under Medi-Cal services. And so in the past couple years, although we're entitled to it, we've not received any funds because it's been a non-funded program. Currently, the item before you is that the Sutter County and Yuba County have created a consortium to combine the efforts to minimize the amount of time it takes to generate the reports that are needed. And so I'm not sure exactly why the timing is where it is now, but I know it's been a process in coming about of developing the working relationship and combining things. I think it was late September, early October when it was kind of initiated and there was a training over there and it got started. So I think that probably has something to do with it, is that the MOU hadn't been developed, the working relationship. The wording, the documentation, and the reason that it goes back to June is because it's a fiscal year goes from July 1 through June 30th. So even though it just is an established working relationship, we're entitled to going back for this current school year back to that earlier time.
You're saying that the MOU has just begun,
right,
between Sutter and you,
right,
and that's why it started.
Right. And we're entitled to back bill to anything that happened back to there. So, right. Exactly.
Mr. DiGiulio, did you want to speak to this as well?
Yeah, because I had some interaction with the contract, obviously. So the MA funding, it sits there, and you're entitled to that reimbursement, like Mr. Nunes said. But if you don't take it, then you're leaving money on the table. We already contribute, obviously, significantly to special ed. So all it really is time reporting. So we're doing these activities. We're providing these services to our students, and the administrators and other counselors and other staff that are providing the service have to time report. This consortium, they help manage that process so that we time report in the correct fashion so that we maximize our reimbursement. We were kind of left in a lurch because the consortium we were with before was out of a county office in the Central Valley, and they folded up their shop and basically ended abruptly, and they're wrapping up their duties. So by going back to July 1st, it really covers the time reporting from then. We haven't done the time reporting yet, but you have to go back to that date so that you can reimburse for the whole year. So it was about putting all these together in a very short time because of what fell through with our past management consortium, and being able to go back to the beginning of the year and reimburse for those full amounts.
Are we going to hire additional staff in order to do the makeup, or is it already pretty much taken care of?
Already been time reporting, yeah. So it's no added work to us. In fact, it's load off of our plate that we don't have to report it and go through the process of the reimbursement process. All we have to do is record our time that we're already performing the services. So each person who performs the services, school psychologists, speech therapists, all they do is they do a monthly log of the services that they do. So it's minimal amount of time based upon the reimbursement that we're entitled to.
And we've been reporting for many, many,
yeah,
many years.
Right.
So this is not a new activity. It's just one that now is coming back locally to the Yuba Sutter County offices,
mm-hmm,
of Ed.
Any other questions? Thanks for your time and coming on. I appreciate it. Number six, Mr. Danable, go ahead. You have the floor.
Yes. So the new position is child development.
Correct.
Child development, right?
Correct.
Now, this position, is this the same position at the job summary and the special report?
It's, in the special report's given the description.
All right.
Good job. Outline here. Yes.
So I had two questions about this. The end of that on page 21, it says that this has already been board approved.
No, it provides for a date there.
Okay.
We add the date right next to board approved.
So in all actuality, when we approve this, or if we approve this, we're going to start looking immediately for somebody?
Correct.
Okay. Do we have an idea on that salary?
It's a range 19, which is consistent with any administrative three secretaries. The creation of the position is part and parcel of a potential reclassification of somebody that's doing significant work above and beyond their current position.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions on consent? If not, can I entertain a motion for approval?
Make a motion to approve consent.
We have a motion from Mr. Harris for approval.
I'll second.
And second for Mr. Danable. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous, 6-0. New business, Board of Trustees annual organization meeting of the Board of Trustees. We selected a day and time for our meeting. Dr. Todd, did you want to?
This is what we do annually, and so we are looking at, let me put my glasses on, the annual organizational meeting taking place on December 9th of 2014 at 5:30 p.m., and we just need a motion to hold that annual organizational meeting of the Board of Trustees.
That's good with all everyone? Randy?
I'll make the motion.
We have a motion for Mr. Danable. Do I have a second? I didn't think you were going to be here or not. We have a second for Mr. Harris. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 6-0. Purchasing Department, Resolution 2014-15/14, disposal of surplus and worn district property for the 2014-15 school year. Kathy?
Aye. Good evening. This is also an annual resolution that we bring forward so that we can have proper disposal for the obsolete equipment that we do accumulate throughout the year. We'll oftentimes recycle the products when we can. So I just need the resolution approved for the items that were listed in special reports, and then it'll also take care of any other items that we find that we need to dispose of throughout the rest of the school year.
Thank you. I think we can do that. Any questions? Motion for approval? Mr. Harris, there's a motion to approve. A second? Mr. Fleury seconds. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None?
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Have a good evening. Sure, buddy. You're going to miss the agreement with School Live. The purpose of this agenda item is to request the board approve the agreement with School Live, LLC, for revenue generation via advertising and promotional services. Under this agreement, LHS, MHS, McKinney, Yuba Gardens would be agreeing to install School Live's advertising. Oh, boy.
Kiosk.
Or you can just throw it to Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan, take it away, buddy.
Okay. So these are interactive kiosks at each site that basically they're in a protective shield. And it looks like a flat panel TV, about a 50-inch, but it's turned sideways, so it's horizontal. And the schools use it as a message board, and they're located at different spots, and we'll work with them to jointly agree on what spots they are on each of those campuses. And they provide, obviously, as part of it, there's advertisements that flash on it that are appropriately and aligned with our board policy and the restrictions on the certain content and material that can be displayed. The school itself, though, has a web portal where they can put their announcements and use it to their full degree. It also has an alert system if ever a shot was fired on campus. That's one of the additional features that it does have. And it's an opportunity to generate revenue. So we have a kind of a unique agreement with them where we're able to not take part of the net revenues, but we take part of the gross revenue. So we really put the onus on them to upkeep the kiosks and to work out the best deal with the advertisers. But they have to keep the responsibility for them to keep their cost downs on them. And so this money will go straight back to the schools, and they can use it in their ASB, in their school site budget. It's just another opportunity for them to provide additional funding for programs and opportunities for students.
And this cost us no money?
No money.
Well, this really sounds like a win-win. I'm surprised we've never done that before.
I looked into this School Live thing, and I'll tell you, it's very it's a very nice little setup.
Nice.
If it's managed properly by the sites that have this thing, it will be an attraction to all the students to keep updated on a whole lot of things. I look at it as the sky is the limit as far as we're concerned if we do the right thing with it.
No legal problems or anything with that?
No. Again, everything is in compliance with our board policy. There's no obscene or suggestion material or anything that doesn't, including even food items that aren't compliant with our board policy. I mean, it's very stringent, and it's a mutually agreeable thing. If we have any issues with any content, we have to sign off on it. Basically, we have to sign off on location, and they work with us, and they have national agreements. So what they do is by putting in high traffic areas at schools throughout the nation, they're able to get bigger contracts with these multinational advertisers, and we can't compete directly with that, but if we still have local advertisements, we're still able to do that. So it's just revenue for the schools to use in a positive way.
And I did have a question from Mr. Danable earlier. We can update the information just as frequently as we as the
minimum
school.
Is 2 weeks.
Would want to do.
So. They want you to update it so that students pay attention to obviously what's on the screen.
So the schools will be able to post their own calendar and that kind of thing.
Announcements, whatever they want.
There wouldn't be any chance that it could be hacked. And
well, there's always a chance
don't
today.
Don't say that.
Okay, just check it.
But if there's damage to the kiosk, for example, by vandalism, they cover the cost. And I also made them put a clause in that they have to replace it within a couple weeks so we can continue to generate revenue.
These computers.
Well, the way of any other discussion, though, this is a Very exciting. We have a motion by Mr. Harris, second by Mr. Dannebaugh. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Yeah, nay. That passes unanimously with Mr. Boom, 5-0. Number two, 214-15 agreement with SchoolDude.com.inc. Is that the? Ms. Ryan?
So we had a big assortment of different systems in terms of communication between different stakeholders within the district as part of the LCAP. This is one of those components, and it has to do with work order system with both information technology and maintenance department, or work orders that can go to maintenance, custodial grounds, and the like, or facilities. And it's to provide a real-time system online where there's both portals that you can access via the web, or there's a app on both Android and iPhone that you're able to, if a teacher, for example, or a classified staff members enter a work order, they're able to see it in real time online. We're able to generate reports. We're able to generate data and use that data to improve our services. So just an online real-time work order system that everybody will have access to.
Great. Any questions? Can I entertain a motion, please? Mr. Dannebaugh, motion to approve, a second. Mr. Fleury, second. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 5-0, Lisa. Facilities and Energy Management, project authorization number 67R, revision of proposal for professional services for security cameras at various schools.
So this is the security cameras project that's currently out for the rebid, the reproposal. And what has happened here is the initial project authorization 67 came in to cover all sites. Then it was significantly reduced, and we added some of the scope back to include a couple more sites and also have the preliminary design and conceptual design for all the schools. So the scope started as everything, went down to very limited, and then we added back scope. So that's simply what's happening here.
Any questions from the board? Not, can I entertain a motion? Motion to approve by Mr. Fleury. Second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Reck. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 5-0. Lisa? That's it. Any other? Are we closing in memory of anyone? I'll close this meeting then.
I'd like to close the meeting in memory of Baki Abarastri, whose husband, the field across the street, is named after him, the softball field. And our employee at the charter school, Paragon, who died in the last 2 weeks. And it was a real tribute to see all of the students there that over the years had had her from come under her athletic directorship and at
Notre Dame
and yeah. Also at New Day. And she volunteered for almost everything that she could possibly do. So in memory of her, I'd like to close this meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Reck. This meeting then is closed to our next meeting, December 9th, at the District Boardroom.